Our gospel today is from Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 27 on page 822, if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have something to show you today. I have this vase. And it's beautiful, isn't it? It's horsehair pottery from actually the Ute tribe, a woman that we met on a mission to Cortez, Colorado, a youth mission, made these vases and sold them, and we brought them one back, a beautiful reminder of our mission trip with our youth group to Cortez, Colorado. Now, if you look closer, you say it's beautiful, but if you look closer, you may notice something like cracks. I don't know if you can zoom in on this in the screen, but anyway, there's gold around it, like glue. So this vase was broken and has been repaired. If you get closer, you can see the cracks. What happened is during the move here to Fountain Hills, this particular vase was put in a box and not really taken care of. It wasn't wrapped with bubble wrap. It wasn't, protected. And so we got here and we opened the box with this vase, and it said on the top, "Navajo vase." It was damaged and broken. It saddened us because it was the only actual Southwestern thing we had in our possession before we moved to Arizona. And then it's broken. So I learned about the Japanese art of kintsugi. And if you'd like to put up on the screen now this picture, I hope it's still, is it there with Apple TV? Yep, there we go. Thank you. And kintsugi is when a broken vase or a piece of pottery or glass can be repaired and restored and then function in a beautiful way. In traditional kintsugi, the master craftsman uses some kind of tree sap and an adhesive to piece together the broken ceramic shards. And then after carefully reassembling and filling the missing gaps with chips of lacquer and other powders, the final layer is meticulously covered in gold dust. I guarantee you this is not gold dust. It was a $10 kintsugi repair kit you can get on Amazon.com. But what's beautiful about this is that although it's a broken vase, it's definitely a one of a kind because the cracks are in unique places. And I think in a way, Even though it has quite a few scars, this is still an object of beauty. I have some other examples of kintsugi over here. I'll show you on the screen. And as you look at them, I guess one thing you can think about is kintsugi is something that's beautiful, but it's not broken. Okay. There it is. I'm struck with how beautiful these are. This is kind of hard to see. It's like from the bowl from the top. But it's quite impressive that you can make something broken still beautiful. I think that's true about people too, don't you? We can still be broken, but beautiful. Okay. We encounter today this familiar story of this rich man who came to Jesus seeking advice. And although he was seemingly had everything, he was rich, he was not whole. So he desperately runs up to Jesus, it says, in a way, and good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, why do you call me good? You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't defraud, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your mother and father. And he said, I've kept all these. And then this key little verse there, Jesus looked at him and loved him before he answered. And then he tells him, well, then you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give the money to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. And he went away grieving and sad and shocked. So what's going on here? This story can raise our anxiety because I think all of us would say, we're rich. We have many possessions. We have homes. We have cars. We have a lot of things. And if you think about this story practically, you would go, Jesus told him to sell everything and give it to the poor. And as we look around our lives, we don't see that many people have ever done that. It's an occasional monk that you may run into in a monastery who gave up everything to become a monk. But for most of us, we're trying to figure out how do we live in the world as stewards of what God's given us. And God hasn't asked us, as this man, to give up everything to give away. Well, what do we know about this guy? We know, I guess, only from what is said here is that he is rich. So he must have given something away when he ran up to Jesus, maybe the way he's dressed, or he came up in a chariot, or he had something that would demonstrate that he was very wealthy. And when Jesus says, give up or sell everything and give it to the poor, what is he? I've always thought that he was saying, you now will live a life of poverty, like for the rest of your life. And I thought, that seems really unfair. That seems not quite right. But Jesus says, I think what he's actually inviting this man into is to place his life under the umbrella, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so giving up everything is a sense of starting over, being broken, and now being repaired. He wasn't whole because his wealth was coming in the way of his devotion and his following Christ. And Jesus says, give it all up, follow me. Does that mean that he's going to be poor the rest of his life? Not necessarily. God could use whatever his gifts and talents are in his life to rebuild this life, beautiful but broken, and restore him in a way to understand, as I think many of us have, is that we understand how it is to be a joy to live with the things that we've possessed, our possessions, our income, and to give it, to live it, to be good stewards of what God's given to us. I say all that because of what Jesus did here. Because he looked at him and he loved him. He didn't do this to punish him. He didn't do this to say, you're such a bad person. He wanted to invite him into life, into the life that's abundant and full. And that life is to live everything under the lordship of Christ. Then the story goes on. He goes away sad. And the story goes on, and the Bible kind of leaves us hanging there because he walks away, and we don't know what happens. Does he ever change? Does he become a believer? Does he give it all away? Tom Ashbrook and I were talking this week, and we thought, I bet he did. He might have just done that, because when someone puts an idea in your mind and you think about it a little while, like my wife does this all the time, she puts an idea in my mind and I say, no, I don't want to do that. And then I think about it and then I go, oh, actually, that's a really good idea. I should do that. Is that how it happened with this man? Could be. But then the disciples ask this question, or Jesus just makes a comment, how difficult it will be for the wealthy to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And they really are struggling with this. Even Peter says, we've given up everything to follow you, Lord. Who then can be saved? To which Jesus says this beautiful statement, which I think is the gospel in this passage, that with mortals, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Even the camel through the eye of a needle, the largest animal that they ever deal with in Middle Eastern culture was a camel, and putting that through the smallest opening they could find is how impossible it is. But with God's grace, it's possible. So does this passage kind of make you wonder or afraid or curious? Well, I think before we talk about what it means for me, I just want to share again what we've been covering in this book, Gentle and Lowly. God's heart, which is the topic for today, is a heart of fondness towards each and every person. He cares about us deeply, even if we don't do all the right things. I guess the whole thing is like, we're like this vase. We're broken, and yet he can still make us beautiful. Now, this is evidence in the reading you heard from Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah 31. And God, or Jeremiah is referencing a time, and God is speaking here 200 years before, roughly, before Jeremiah even spoke this prophecy. And he says, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he the child I delight in? As often as I speak against him, I still remember him. Therefore, I am deeply moved for him. I will surely have mercy on him, says the Lord. Now, Ephraim is one of the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom of Israel that were ransacked by Assyria and taken off into captivity. They were scattered. The northern kingdom, as God says here, was destroyed, but it's not forgotten. God still calls them his dear son. He calls them his delight. And I can picture that for each and every one of us, that God takes the brokenness in us, the disobedience in us, the sin in us, and painstakingly puts us back together. Like a kintsugi master painstakingly putting back together what was broken and making the broken pieces beautiful again. We looked also today and read also today a psalm, Psalm 27. And this song is entitled in Bibles, David's Triumphant Song of Confidence. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? That would be a great word for this young man or man who was very rich before Jesus said to him, it's going to be okay. Give it all up. I'll bring your life back to you. And that is a credible song, prayer of hope and trust. Lord, you're my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? This is where David recognizes when the Lord is on his side, he has nothing to fear. Human beings are prone to fearful responses. We worry about problems in this life, acting as if we face them all alone. Yet God is our light and our salvation. He's redeemed us. We have nothing to fear. As Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us. O God, my light and my salvation, comfort me and strengthen me in my faith, is the David's prayer there. So when is your heart most afraid? When is it like you can feel it? Do you fear failure, when you're going to do something wrong? Or do you fear judgment, that you'll get discovered for something you have done, or the punishment for that? Does that make you afraid? I know something that makes me afraid is if I know that if all my friends would leave me, or if I would have no companions, I think being found out and being phony is one of the fears that many of us have. Like if they knew the real me, maybe they wouldn't like me. But God takes all that, all those fears, like the Kintsugi master, and he binds them up, and he makes you whole again. That is what this passage means to me today. This whole idea of this young man going to Jesus, asking for something true and pure and good. He wants to inherit life, and Jesus looks at him lovingly and says, I want to make you whole. I want to make you as whole as I can make you. And for you, this man, you need to look at your wealth, because it's getting in the way of your devotion to God. For us, it may be something else, but there's this knowing, as well as this knowing that God will receive us, but also knowing that he will restore us. And that is the message today, that about his heart. It's a heart of love and fondness for each and every one of us. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that you are the loving Father who doesn't discard us when we're broken, but actually makes us whole by repairing the broken places through your forgiveness. You love us even though you hate maybe what we do. God, we can be loved and broken. We can be broken and made beautiful. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.